Lynn State Representative Dan Cahill is joining us on the line here. Rep, welcome. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
Bill, it is always a pleasure to join you on this fantastic show.
Right. I'm sure it is. Dan, let me just update you, have you update us, rather, on your committee assignments. I've learned something this year. I didn't realize committee assignments moved around a little bit. Sometimes they're relatively steady, but everything was up for grabs with the start of this session. So what happened with your committee assignments?
Well, I was very fortunate enough for Speaker Mariano to appoint me to the chair of kind of a new committee, a committee that used to be Environment, Natural Resources, and Agriculture, but they split off the agriculture part to create an agriculture committee. So now I'm chair of Environment and Natural Resources.
All right. So what is that? What would that include then?
Anything you can think of with the environment, things from rivers to forests to beaches to trash to chemicals that are in the ground, climate, things like that.
Absolutely. So that's a big committee, obviously, a lot of things happening. What about any bills or anything like that that either you've sponsored or you're looking at or kind of have an interest in, a particular interest in?
Well, we were very fortunate last session to get some of the top bills actually signed into law. So we had filed the sports gaming bill, sports betting bill. We also filed a bill that had to deal with the price of eggs, which we're happy to get passed. So this year we're looking at a couple of different things. One of our top priorities is focused on housing. So we have a legislation that would allow local housing authorities to be exempt from local zoning with respect to building affordable or public housing, which if anyone who's ever been through a city, and particularly a town, and looked at some of their affordable housing stock, a lot of these things were built post-World War II. They're on large tracts of land. They're typically either a duplex or a townhouse. And there's a lot of missed space. So the goal would be to allow these housing authorities to maybe rethink the way that they have a housing stock and maybe consider working with the state and obtaining funding to kind of rethink it and maybe tear some of these old stock down, which are costly, and build dense buildings that can house more people.
You know, I was going to follow up with a question. You almost answered it for me, but can you cite a situation, say, in Lynn, where that might, in other words, I think I hear what you're saying, is that the old housing, affordable housing, was not the most efficient, if let's put it that way, as far as space. And now it's all old, is what you're saying, too. So it's time to redo or redevelop those areas. Is that what you're thinking?
Oh, absolutely. Land is a premium in Massachusetts, and it's very expensive. And our biggest concern, one of the largest, I would say, concerns raised by a lot of developers is the cost of acquisition of land, and then zoning process. Each city and town has their own unique zoning, and some folks would argue that some are anti-snob. Zoning? Or no, pro-snob zoning. I forget how they call it. We don't have that. But if we could alleviate the problem with land that that these housing authorities currently control and can, without having to get a lot of permission from local zoning boards, which are subjected to a lot of pressure, they can possibly expand the offerings of not just public housing, but affordable housing components as well. So units that are restricted to a certain AMI, which would alleviate working class folks who can't afford things. But also on the public housing expansion, we have a tremendous wait list for Section 8 vouchers. And we have a lot of folks applying for like the RAP program. More units would be fewer folks on that list, which would really get to the heart of our housing needs in Massachusetts.
You know, I also ran across this other more or less stat, and I won't be able to quote it exactly for you. But so, I mean, you're talking about one issue, but other folks also have this issue where it used to be like if you wanted to buy a house, you'd they would say you have to put down whatever percent, and a certain percentage of your annual salary would go towards housing. Well, the stat that I heard today is that now people, that number is, getting wider. In other words, less and less people actually qualify for what we used to call what would have been affordable housing, or housing that they could really realistically pay for, you know, mortgage and taxes and so on. And so that's another issue all to itself again.
Yeah, I mean, historically, people would spend up to, like, you know, a healthy amount of like 20% of your annual income towards housing. Now it's up to 45%, in some instances over 50% for certain people. You know, that's cutting into their ability to provide food, to provide, you know, utilities, to provide educational opportunities, to obtain the ability to go to work, pay for T-passes, to have a car. Like, it's eventually going to really have an impact on our economy. People are either going to leave, or they're not going to be able to afford to live here to work. That's a huge problem.
Well, you said it far better than I did, Dan. Let me ask you about...
That's pretty good. You're like the Bill Shakespeare of, like, radio stations.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So be it. I don't know if that's appropriate or not. Or Shakespearean. Maybe it's Shakespearean. That's what I'm thinking. So let me ask you about a couple things here. Lynn specific, MBTA garage construction. So where are we on that right now?
We're in the beginning of what we hope is a 3-year demolition and reconstruction phase. They have shut down the station. MBTA is actively working on the platform now, removing awnings, overhead things, such as and platform portions, because the concrete is just completely melted away. So the cranes are in the sky. They're removing a bunch of material on the tracks, and then next they'll be demolishing and dismantling the parking garage adjacent to the lot, adjacent to the station. They're at about 75% design right now for a new station, and we're working with the MBTA and the city on ideas for hopefully what will be a public-private partnership of a reconstruction of the parking garage that has some kind of component of commercial and residential. We think that's, like, you know, as of today, that's some kind of vision, but it's just a vision, and input from the community is going to be important as we get closer to the ability to actually start having those discussions.
Dan, in January, Massachusetts got a new governor, a new lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor, former Mayor Kim Driscoll from the city of Salem, now lieutenant governor. And so with the new leadership and the executive branch in Boston, does that open up projects that Lynn might have been looking for and not been able to take advantage of with the past administration? What has changed with the new administration?
Well, Bill, I mean, my hat's off to Governor Baker and a lot of the things we were able to accomplish under his governorship, particularly in the city of Lynn, and some of the programs that he really championed and really made a huge impact on the city. We are hopeful with the new administration. We've got some really positive feedback about two really important pieces, in particular with respect to transportation. One being the Lynn Ferry, that we are very confident that under this administration, you will see a ferry service restored to the city of Lynn that we haven't had the last 8 years. And secondly, and I send a big shout out to Senator Brendan Crighton and Representative Jenny Armini, who filed legislation that we support that will also direct the MBTA to work on the electrification of the Newburyport commuter rail line. Both of those were projects that were not, I would say, front and center of the former administration's agenda, but we feel it's been pushed to more of a prominent position under the new governorship.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else, Dan, is there anything, other things that you think are important that I didn't ask you about that you want to share with us, you know, from the State House, from your office?
Well, you know, last session, as I told you, we were successful in sports betting. I, keeping with my fondness for gambling, also am trying to get the lottery to go online. So we were successful last year in getting an online lottery bill through, an economic development bill on the House side, and we refiled the bill we're really hopeful that this year we'll be able to push it even further. It would allow an online component so the lottery can compete with all these online platforms. And it shows, the studies show that younger people, they're just not playing the games like older generations have. They are used to doing things on their phone. So the ability for them to be accessing, you know, some of these big games in particular, you know, when you see it's like, oh, $1 billion game, people sit on the couch, it's 9 o'clock at night, they're not going to get out, grab, you know, the kid car keys, go down to the local convenience store, have to have cash to buy these tickets. It's a way for folks to be able to access it. With, of course, protections for people, because we don't want gambling addiction to kind of take hold and create issues for certain people. But there is a component that it would enshrine and at least preserve the Chapter 70 funding for education that we derive a tremendous amount from lottery proceeds, which we need to protect. And online lottery may do that. And also there's a component to dedicate some of these funds towards early education, which is currently not funded. So both those things could really be really impactful, not only just to the students of the Commonwealth, but also everyday players who may not want to go down to the local store, or maybe they do, or maybe they're unable to go there for disability reasons, or they're just, they're busy lives. We want them to be able to play.
You know, Dan, I've never thought of that before, but that makes so much sense in a way. I mean, as you were explaining that, I'm thinking to myself, the guys that go into the convenience stores to get their tickets, that's pretty old fashioned. That's pretty old school, isn't it? Yeah.
Bill, I do it all the time. I'll be honest with you. I like scratch trash tickets, and I like to buy lottery tickets, because one day, Bill, if I win $1 billion, you will never hear from me ever again, Bill. I am leaving. I'm going to go to my own private island, and no one will be able to find me anymore. And I will sleep on beds shoved with $100 bills in it.
Well, we'll call you and we'll find out how that sleep goes. I mean, that doesn't sound like a great way to be sleeping, but whatever. If it were me, Dan, I'd go out and buy a decent mattress. You know, that's just me thinking with all that money, but.
Where am I going to put the money? I got billions.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So, hey, let me ask you this then. So you mentioned sports betting a moment ago. Now, do you have the sports betting app? Let me just ask you this, on your phone yet, because it's going live here right away.
I'll be honest with you. I do not. I am very curious who there's going to be various players in this space, and I think they're going to be giving various bonuses and enticing certain promotions. And I'm going to sit back at it, and I'm going to watch. Not opposed to the in-person betting at the casinos. I think that's a lot of fun. But as far as the online, I may or may not participate. But I want to make sure people have the opportunity to do that.
You know, here's what I think, too, Dan, is that it seems like if you had a sports bar, I mean, a really great sports bar, a sports bar could pay for somebody to run a tape, run a booth, if you will, to take bets while at the bar, you know what I'm saying? And that's really not a possibility unless you're at the casinos.
One day, it's like everything else, right? When we first authorized the sale of marijuana, now we're legalizing gambling, the initial reaction is, hey, go slow. We don't know how this is going to unfold. But as people get used to things, it evolves. I mean, eventually, sports betting on a phone can be done anywhere. I'm sure people will be getting creative, and then who knows? Maybe at some point the lottery is involved in some level of sports betting at some, point of service. And, all those little lottery machines might have a second life.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could always do it for a special event. So I'll tell you what, Kevin Hart makes it look pretty good to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, a lot of commercials, by the way. Him and Gronk. Every time I turn around, Gronk's on my Twitter feed. Keep on having to block him, but taking away from my videos of watching people fall down. Come on.
I think Gronk's probably thinking the same thing of blocking your Twitter feed too, Rep.
Rob Gronkowski blocked me many years ago. He found that my tweets at him, my DMs were inappropriate. So he blocked me. But it's okay.
Yeah.
I wish him the best of luck.
Absolutely. All right. Dan, I think we've probably exhausted pretty much everything, and we've probably gone way too far, as you would probably say. We probably should have stopped 5 minutes ago, but it's always good talking with you and getting the latest from the State House.
Bill, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to our calls, and I look forward to our next one.
All right. Take care. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. Dan Cahill, State Rep, City of Lynn, here with us on MSONewsSports.com.